Hi everyone, welcome. It's me, Ayan, and
Alba,
and we are doing our assignment number two for researching Africa of the 21st century in crisis thinking, and we have decided to focus on the case of natural disasters and the role of the media. Our case study will be on the Marrakesh earthquake that happened earlier this year. And we decided to focus on two different angles in a sense. I was looking into the response and the reaction of Morocco's hesitation to getting help from others. Whereas Alba will be focusing on the French aspect, because Alba speaks French. And we think because Morocco was colonized by the French, there will be a different angle and a different connection to look into. So without no further ado, just to set the stage of the coverage, Morocco, in the city of Marrakesh, went through a big earthquake in September. And it was one of the biggest that's happened in the last 120 years in Morocco, in the Atlas Mountains. And when the earthquake hit, Morocco was able to quickly mobilize themselves and distribute the workload. But the focus has been very highly on how Morocco has been very hesitant to get foreign aid and help from the countries worldwide.
Morocco accepted the help of Spain, UK, Qatar, and the Emirates, but didn't respond to a lot of countries, including France. And that was seen as a rejection by France, mostly. And they got offended by that. So we can see a lot of debates and polemics in the media.
And just observing, so if I'm speaking from the observation I have seen internationally, the reaction was very, if you just Google Marrakesh earthquake and the response, it was like, why would they refuse? And why in the time of need would anyone refuse help? What is going on? Is Morocco trying to show power over being a sovereign country and able to be self-sufficient?
There were also a lot talking about the relations between Morocco and France, and saying that it was maybe because of the bad relations that they have had lately. But Morocco said that it was because of the organization of all these helps, and they couldn't organize all the help of all the countries.
Yeah, the coordination.
Yeah, the coordination. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
and I think. And also, just looking at that, then the question arises, is the role of sovereignty. What does it mean for a country to be able to make those decisions for themselves? Does that mean that just because aid is being offered that a country has to say yes? Or can they say no without there being any consequences? There's a lot of discussions about that. And one of the reports was on the response from the French foreign minister, saying that Morocco has a right as a sovereign country to reject, to say no, and not give a response, because there was a lot of friction coming about it, a lot of news articles about saying, just questioning Morocco's motivations.
Yeah, the government and even Emmanuel Macron said that they were sovereign, so they could accept or not the help of other countries. And they were like trying to stop the polemic and stop all the medias from talking about the fact that they were rejected by Morocco as being a huge thing. So
it wasn't confirmed by anyone. This was only the media play.
Yeah, only the media, because Morocco just didn't respond to a bunch of countries and accepted help of four countries. That was enough, because they could coordinate. Spain is close to Morocco, so it was a good thing.
So there's a lot of that, and also Morocco does have an internationally accredited rescue team that was created in 2014. So they have the resources and they have the manpower to do so. So the discussion of why also is very weird in that sense, because then you have to look at the relationship between France and Morocco. France is a colonial power, but they are a colonial power, but then is Morocco then trying to Sovietize, or is Morocco just trying to show their power and say, you know, we've got this, we want to be able to be stand on our own feet?
I think it's both. I think that if they saw that they needed help, they would have accepted the help of France, for example. But they aren't an underdeveloped country, so they had means to assess the situation, and they did. They accept help from had they accepted help from four countries, mm-hmm. and not more, because they didn't need it.
Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of the media play was about the Moroccan king. And, you know, why the royal family or the government took 18 hours to respond and not say much. And instead, the only images circulating was of him in the cabinet meetings, but nothing officially stated from the government. There was a lot of critique against that, saying if he had accepted it and it wasn't all about the central authority giving the orders to accept aid, for example, or coordinate better, then they could have been saved.
They critiqued a lot the fact that he wasn't in the country and that he was in France, mm-hmm. especially in France. Mm-hmm. And they also spoke a lot about the relations between France and the king, between Emmanuel Macron and the mm-hmm. king. The fact that there was a visa crisis mm-hmm. between both, and that French government spoke about the Sahara Occidental and didn't say that they were with Morocco, because the factor that stopped the help of France.
And then that begs the question of whether that's true or not. Doesn't Morocco have a right to say no? I mean, Japan in 2011, during the earthquake crisis of the nuclear reactors, which was a very big catastrophe, had refused help from certain countries. And same with Armenia in 1988 with the earthquakes. So it's not the first time you could say that help was refused. But then the question is, why is that so triggering, so questioned when it comes to Morocco?
So Moroccan people are talking a lot about neo-colonialism, about the fact that France is the colonial power and that Morocco was a colony of France, and that could explain why France is so offended about the fact that Morocco didn't respond to their help.
So that was just the media play of what was being presented on the newspapers, articles, and talk shows, especially in France. But over on the social media world, it was a very different picture. I remember seeing a lot of videos circulating, pictures circulating of fellow Moroccans from other parts of the country all loading up to go to the areas that were affected, bringing with them food, clothing. People were motivating each other to go donate blood. Even the Moroccan football team that did very well during the World Cup in Qatar late last year took pictures where they donated blood and were telling other people to do. And there was lines and lines of people queuing up. And it was very beautiful to see the camaraderie of Moroccans themselves, them stepping up to help their fellow people. And also as people who know this, they know the land very well compared to maybe rescue teams that were going to come and navigate this, especially mountainous areas. It was a very beautiful thing to see. But I felt like there was very little coverage of the Moroccans helping out on the media. Yeah.
Even the diaspora, for example, in France, they raised a lot of money mm-hmm. to send to the country and to help mm-hmm. with food, with housing, with mm-hmm. everything. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was a big thing. And we didn't saw that much for at least in the French media, we saw a lot about the offended friends, but not that much about the fact that Morocco was doing well and that they were helping themselves.
Okay. Did you were because I on the international side, I would see the lines, especially the lines about donating blood. I did see that, for example, on Al Jazeera. Did you see that in the French media, or was that only on social media?
I only saw that on social media. So I saw a lot of people with cars going to the villages to help, to give food and everything, but I didn't see that much in the media.
No. And I think that's... the fact that you maybe didn't see in France also plays into the role, like you said, of the colony dynamics. But I think what social media has shown us is that the traditional media outlets, it's not the only way to gain knowledge, to gain information, but it could also be through the non-traditional ways of social media. I would also say in the traditional media, there was a lot of outcry, a lot of like focus on the villages, for example, complaining about the government abandoning them, which of course can be true to many sense because this was the areas where the Amazigh people were the majority and may not have had the best resources, infrastructure, because of the power dynamics in the country, but it felt like the full focus was just on that, that they were neglected. But then, you know, the main image that was circulating around of the old lady had something French on it. Yeah. What did it say?
In one journal called Liberation, they put it like a quote in that picture saying we are dying in silence, and that was to mention the fact that Morocco didn't accept the help of France, and so because Morocco didn't accept the help of France, people were dying, and that was saying that Morocco choose to prioritize the relations and not the people of their country, when in fact they did accept help from foreign countries. They did do a lot of things to help the population.
What did it actually say? Because it was in French.
So, yeah,
and I don't speak French. So like that was
in French. It was "Aidez-nous, nous mourons en silence." Help us, we are dying in silence.
Okay, so that was the French.
And
But then you were able to find the original writing as well. What was the
So the quote was about they were saying that the woman in the picture was saying that while crying and screaming, and it wasn't what she was saying. She was just saying "Viva the King."
Okay.
So yeah, that they showed a video of the actual situation, and she was just crying and saying "Viva the King" and not at all "Help us, we are dying in silence." So they just manipulated the situation to create a polemic.
And I think that's the dynamic that's very interesting to have, and where language plays a role. If I was just observing this without looking into the French sources, I think I would have left a whole new viewpoint that was just limited to maybe questioning Morocco's motivation, whereas the French aspect of it is more elaborate. It's a lot more in depth than maybe one would have expected.
Yes, and also when we see what we saw in class, the theory that with crisis thinking, we do things too quickly.
Yes,
and it doesn't work. Morocco government didn't and thought about, oh, okay, we need help from this and this and this countries, and we don't need to help from too many countries because it's going to be too hard to coordinate. And so in fact they did well in that sense.
No, I think that's on point what you were saying, Alba, about too much help sometimes is not the best solution. And you know, we see that also in aid, like normal foreign aid, not in humanitarian aspect, but like even in development aid, in certain, like especially in Africa, you get too much of it, but then it's not delegated in the correct way. So we will not know the extent of the effect of the Marrakesh earthquake until maybe later on. We'll will have to be in, to be continued. But I did see an article, for example, that was showing how the tourists who were there, some of them were back there the next day. 2 days later, they were just torn around those areas that were destroyed, like nothing happened. So this was mostly in the Marrakesh old city. But it just goes to show that, you know, not everything was ruined and people still were going about like nothing happened. So I don't think this will stop or slow down Morocco's touristic or tourism in that sense. So looking into crisis thinking, which is all about making it that everything is going to ruins, everything is a catastrophe. When you relate that to natural disasters and rescue effort, it begs the question of, would foreign NGOs or foreign rescue teams have done a better job than the local Moroccan teams? Because the Moroccan basically are locals. They know their country best, the geography of it, how to navigate it. So it felt a lot of the coverage was on like the foreign Western rescue teams would have done better. And that, you know, where you can relate to white savior complex. Is that something, Alwa, you feel is the case maybe for France?
I think maybe I saw an interview where American was saying that they were doing well. The only thing that could maybe help was donating money or food so that the rescue teams that were already in the field could have more to give to the population. But that they are like formed already, so they know what they are doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And crisis thinking with white savior complex also comes into play when it's colonial power in picture. And just a question of, can developing country do better? Can they help themselves without the need to kind of like baby them and say, oh no, they can't do this, or no, they need help? Because humanitarian sector has always been about, okay, help first, give aid, give people, give rescue, and, you know, not about, okay, let them help themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw articles that were saying that it was a shame that they couldn't help because friends have a lot of rescuing
experience
and everything, but other countries do also have some. So
yeah, I think I saw the same with certain, like the private NGOs, for example. There was an example of Rescuers Without Borders. I think an Israeli NGO, and because they work very privately, They just came in the country without having to get approval from the government, for example, because they can come as private people without a visa into the country, for example. And they were able to come and assess the situation before they can bring in the government into picture and give them help. But it just goes to show, are the boundaries being respected of Morocco, where they say, okay, we don't need help, and then people are just coming without being invited. Does that conflict with the sovereignty laws, I would say?
I believe that it does. Mm. Because Morocco, that's why France didn't come, because they need the approval of Morocco to do so. So yeah, I believe that Israeli organization you're talking to, they didn't really have the approval. Sorry.
No, they didn't. They operate differently. They can come in as private people. Oh, so they don't apply, because the state countries have to apply and get a formal invitations. But like private NGOs, especially ones that are rescuers, they can come from countries where they don't require like a visa prior, can just come in. And they do that to assess the situation. And they're only there for a couple of days. But then it's a sovereignty question, right?
Yes.
For example, an African organization be able to come into Europe if something had to happen, God forbid, without getting accepted? Is, you know, would the opposite ever happen?
Yeah, it's a good question. I believe that they just violated the sovereignty. And because even if it's to help,
saving lives.
If the country is saying that we are good, we know what we are doing, and you still come, it's, yeah, violating the sovereignty.
Yeah, definitely. Sovereignty laws and all that. And, you know, white savior isn't the first time and it won't be the last time, unfortunately. And that also leads us to the other question of decolonization. Decolonizing, which is a very big topic in research in Africa we've had from all angles. You can think of decolonizing media, for example, traditional media. How does that play? How does that play into traditional media? What can we do to decolonize traditional media?
What can we do? We can inform people, because I know that a lot of people, French people, for example, still think that Africa needs help. Africa can help themselves. And for the example of Morocco, I know that a lot of people were like, but why are they like not accepting French help when they need it? Like they can't do it themselves. They are poor. They are so we need decolonization in the media. We need information. We need people to know what is happening, what is really happening, and what is developing in Africa. How countries are developing and don't need that much the help of the West.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, it could be that they probably need help, but not in everything.
Yes,
you know, it could be certain areas. Yes, they may need help, and that might always be the case. But other areas where they're able to, that shouldn't be a surprise in that sense. And decolonization of media, I think one of the few steps is the use of social media. It is a decolonizing, because as long as you have access to internet, everyone has accessibility. Everyone has a voice that they can do input. And I think us as people abroad, but also youngsters that are in the social media world, were able to get a glimpse from another side. Not a catastrophe, people dying, buildings ruined, a king not responding. But what we saw was the resilience of the Moroccan people helping each other out.
So in terms of decolonizing media, what can be done is using social media also to have more information and to take some videos. For example, in our social media platforms, we saw a lot of videos of what was happening in Morocco, how people were helping and everything, so they could use that also. Of course, they have to be careful, but use that also in what they are putting in the journals and everything, to also state about what is happening and not that much, oh, it's a disaster, they need help.
Definitely. And then I think we can just start wrapping it up. The consequences and the effects will be to be determined. It's still a very fresh case on where the resources are going to go, are the houses and the infrastructure going to be rebuilt better in these areas that were affected by the earthquake. So hopefully the media will be able to be more balanced and give us a better overview of what's really happening on ground in the coming months or years to come. It's been a very interesting discussion. We welcome you guys for joining us. And signing off, it's me, Ayan, and
Alba. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.